Coffee Talk. If you enjoy our content, please consider donating and following our socials. Now, here are your hosts, Lady Alba and Lord Knight.
All right, Lord Knight, we got a fresh cup ready to go. How's about we talk about some healing?
Yes.
Yeah. Why do I have sexual healing stuck in my head? It's a good song.
See, now I lost it.
My work here is done. Ba-dump. Okay.
Let's start with the fact is that there are some caveats and things you have to be careful with when it comes to healing people.
Well, let me take it even a step back. Do you believe all people are healers?
No.
Really?
No.
Hmm.
I think some people are more naturally lean that way.
Yes, I agree
with that. Versus other people.
Yes.
And typically, I see more women.
Oh, yeah.
Again, healthcare, the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. Yes, there are men there, but...
Mm-hmm.
So again, yes, there some people aren't healers.
I think everyone has the capacity for it,
mm-hmm.
in at least a small way.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that the ability and the things that are necessary for it are coded in us and in the species. But I agree from a magic standpoint, from a metaphysical standpoint, yes, there are people who are far more adept at it than
yes.
others. Okay. So.
In which I'm on the low end of that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm right there with you. I don't feel like, unless I put a tremendous amount of time and effort into healing works, the results are not going to be anywhere near what I want them to. It
no.
takes a lot more of a deliberate focus. Whereas for some people, it's much, much easier.
Oh, God, yes.
But also, I shouldn't. it's really a but.
But.
Do you think that some of the reason why some of us are less adept at it is because we really just go, I know how that works. I don't think I want to do that.
That's probably the majority of it.
Mm. So, let's break it down.
What's the first thing you need to know when someone, hey, I have something wrong with me, my lady. Can you please help me?
Well, because there we go. It comes down to yes, but.
But.
Where's it going to come from?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And what's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm. I always love the analogy of you find 20 bucks on the street, right?
Right.
You find a bit of money. That's wonderful. Somebody lost it
yes.
for you to get it.
Yes.
It didn't just materialize out of nowhere.
Nope.
It's traceable.
Yes. Balance must be maintained.
Uh-huh. And that 20 bucks that you found, the question becomes, for you, it might just be cool. This is $20 I didn't have. This is awesome.
That, and for the person that lost it, oh, damn, how am I feeding my family the rest of the week?
Catastrophic. Exactly. And that's how healing works.
Yes, it really does.
Yep. Sometimes, yeah, what you're investing yourself in can be, that the results can be catastrophic for you if you don't know everything else that could be going on behind the scenes. So, what are we talking about? Okay. I'm sorry. Our elders fall apart.
Yes.
Literally. I mean, piece by piece.
Inch by inch.
It is watching them decay in a way that is a little bit, I believe, more extreme than what we see in other circles. And yet, because there's an irony to this. Our elders are active and functioning until almost the day that they die.
Yep.
And it's like they're dragging a body that no longer wants to cooperate, but the thing that animates them is still kicking.
Yep.
And it's very, very intense to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that a lot of that wear and tear, yeah, it has a lot to do with ritual practices, energy works, healings. Everything that they've put into circle
yes.
for as many years as they have.
I would 100% agree with you.
Mm-hmm. So then It starts to become, you know, where is it too challenging? Where is it too much? I mean, you and I, on the rare times that we do engage in those sorts of practices, we've both been guilty of saying things like, what's a few years off the end? It's fine.
Well, I really miss March.
Yeah. Because that's one of the ways we look at it, right? Investing in the time and the care to help heal somebody else is actually shortening your own lifespan. Because again, it has to come from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then sometimes we wonder, are we actually giving up healing tissue? Are we actually giving up elements of our own health in exchange for
someone else's?
Yeah.
You know, are our sicknesses and ailments popping up earlier than what they should?
As a result, yeah. It's the same way, it's messed up, but it's the same way that transplants work.
Yes.
Yeah. Someone has to die for you to get a transplant.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else has to give the ultimate sacrifice for you to get a heart, a lung, a kidney. Well, maybe not always a kidney, but you get my point.
Yeah.
That's intense when we think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Why would magic be any different?
It wouldn't.
Yeah. So, where do we caution is the person terminal? Right?
Right.
If death is imminent, and I don't mean in the big picture, right? It's imminent for all of us, you know. But if it's
we all have a date with that person.
Yes. If it's imminent soon, now, what can we do? What is possible? You can be creative about easing suffering. We can introduce some methods that might not be the norm for Western medicine.
Right.
Now they're becoming more and more common. I mean, look, we were the first ones to sneak people weed. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. Here, eat this.
Here. Chew this root.
Yeah, right?
And drink this tincture.
If it stimulates your appetite and it keeps somebody going a few more weeks because you were able to get them to eat, that's wonderful. But you're not trying to take it away. You're simply trying to ease the transition.
Right. Because you're not going to stop that.
No. It's like holding back a tsunami. It would be pointless. Then on the other hand, we go, okay, what about illnesses, diseases?
Mm-hmm.
What's reasonable and what's not?
Then you have to ask yourself, I mean, if you're giving up part of your life to heal someone else, right?
Mm-hmm.
How important does that person have to be? I mean, to be honest, do you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. This is why most healers, right, they only work on people they know. Family, right? Unfortunately, though, what happens is because so many people descend upon healers, they find themselves giving little tiny bits more and more. And it's kind of like this. You've got to go, I have seen many people remove a headache. Hell, I've had it done for me. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And a headache, it's small, it's minor. What are you really doing? Well, you are influencing the areas, the blood vessels that are constricted, that are causing the pain, and you're taking out some of the inflammation so the blood can flow more freely and you're relieving the headache. Well, wonderful. You know, ibuprofen can do that too. But you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes that's fine. But if you do it once every few weeks, okay, well, what if you're doing it every single day?
Again, it's the whole death of 1,000 paper cuts.
Yeah.
I mean, literally is what we are talking about.
Yes.
I'll admit it. You've done said it. It's easy for me to go, okay, yeah, they're in pain. Let me just this once. Okay.
Let's numb it. Yeah.
Let's numb it.
Let's pull it out, move it, redirect it. Something.
And not think twice about it. Right. I mean, what's a few seconds?
And we're also, right, many of us, we have rocks, stones, bottles, that are holding some ick.
Yes.
And because we got to put it somewhere. You have to go somewhere, kiddos. And if you don't put it in something, it's going in you. So this is practical in a way.
No. Are you going to take that yicky rock and just leave it on your little shelf to sit there and slowly let that energy
exactly
out? Or are you going to?
Yeah.
My lady, just ask.
Well, it's at that point you go, I have something radioactive.
Yes.
It's going to leach. Because again, it needs somewhere to go. It doesn't belong here. It doesn't belong in a rock because that's not what it affects, right? So yes, it's a whole trickle down. It's a whole series of bigger, you know, effect, butterfly effects, if you will,
right,
that take place. A number of years back, I found something fantastic. It's a very large cigar box. And I mean very large. And it literally, it's the cigar manufacturer, it's called Omen or something, you know, literally it's my hex box. It's gigantic. It is clear as day. Okay. If you stumble upon this, I don't know how that would happen, but if anybody would be a moron to not look at it and go, we shouldn't open that. We really should leave that alone.
No. It needs to be picked up, taken outside, buried.
Even in my own house, though, the items within that box, they are, some of them are wrapped up or confined in their own right in the box. Then there's the box itself. Then there's the fact that the box lives under a heavy black blanket, and that whole thing is stowed away behind a metal cage. I mean, how much more can I do, right? But still,
there will be that one person that would go, you know what? I think she wants us to look in there.
There's always going to be the one person who goes, I feel that.
Yes.
I feel what's radiating off of that, and I want to know more.
Mm-hmm.
And that curiosity can be problematic. But the good news is it doesn't belong to you, so it's usually pretty easy to ground out in those situations. But still, I don't know too many healers that have lived very long. I feel like many of them die prematurely. I mean, they might still live into their 50s or 60s, but that's pretty young.
Nowadays, yeah.
Yeah. I think that, you know, the idea of the 1,000-year-old sage or druid, right, the village, the super decrepit village healer, it's accurate, but it also seems to always want to depict them as being 1,000 years old. No, they're not.
They're like 30.
Yeah. They're cycling much, much faster than others, and they're always looking for their replacement. Surprise, surprise. Right? Who am I going to teach this to so I can be rid of it for a bit?
Yes.
Yeah. It's wild. It is a curse unto itself. So yeah, healing is I always caution. Whenever somebody wants to learn it, when they want to, and it never fails, right? It always comes about when it's tragic, when it hits you, when it affects you so personally. I think as members of craft, we need to be prepared for that. We need to recognize that it's going to happen. Tragedy is not going to skip over us.
Nope.
Yeah. We're not going to be able to put the blood of the lamb above our door and, you know, Passover. Yes, of course. What? I enjoy the story of Passover. Damn it. I think it's lovely. That is the most pagan story in all of the non-pagan religions. And it's ironic because if you think about it, right back then, Jews were pagans. So I don't know. But I always, even as a kid, I loved the story of Passover. I was like, this is really cool. I want to put some blood above my door, too. Frogs falling from the sky. I mean, come on. So, you know, and then Moses parting the seas. I mean, I love it. I love it. I love the whole thing. So great. Charlton Heston, all of it. Love it. But it's, yeah, we have to know that there is going to come a time where something is going to happen to someone that you care about very dearly, and you are going to want to try
to help,
to heal, to help, to take away, to let. Be careful.
Please be careful.
Yeah. It can have a much greater effect. And I think it's the type of thing that warrants the advice, are you making a permanent solution to a short-term problem? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Because it doesn't, the pain, what you're feeling doesn't last forever.
No.
What you are experiencing and how it is affecting you doesn't last forever, nor does it for that individual.
You have to recognize that at some point, a cleansing is required.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to let things happen.
Yes. I'm also a big proponent of, what did we do to ourselves? Now, I know that's kind of terrible because there's plenty of things we can say, right? I didn't ask for this. I didn't create this disease. I didn't make myself sick. But I also, you know, I look at things sometimes and I go, look at your diet, right? Look at your lifestyle. Did you contribute significantly?
Based on your choices.
Exactly. To the state that you're in and the illness that you are now contending with. And I'm sorry if the answer is yes, as it is for most of us, honestly, truly, then a healer should be a little less willing to intervene or to try to take action, because you're trying to, you can't undo, right?
Right.
How do you undo 40 years of someone eating nothing but sugar and drinking soda as their, and then ending up with diabetes and, you know, they're potentially about to lose a foot? You can't.
I mean, what do you do just to that person that don't overeat, but they just abuse their body over and over and over again?
Sure. There's so many contributing factors where it makes more sense, I think, much like doctors, right? I can get it, much like Western medicine. If you are wanting to be in the healing sector of craft, prevention.
Yes.
Education.
Yes.
Uh-huh. That's all right. Where your skills and your talents have the ability to manifest the most good, versus if you're just trying to Band-Aid things.
Yeah, going back and, and cooking from scratch as much as possible. And
yeah, there's so many different things. And I mean, look, I see it. I see it in our community sometimes. And I'm like, what is going on? Socioeconomics will always play a big part in craft.
Yes.
But it's ironic that a people that for the most part are very connected by their connection to the planet and by their connection to what the earth gives us are also in many cases very disconnected from it, either because of physical limitation or financial limitation. And no one has shown them an alternative. No one has shown them another way. You know, it was funny because when I came in, I noticed these, oh my God, Lord Knight has the most beautiful knives right now. Y'all, I'm dying. I want them so bad. They're so pretty.
Am I going to have to frisk you before you leave?
Yes, absolutely. If you don't have a metal detector, you're in trouble. They're gorgeous. They're gorgeous. I'm looking at them right now. They're absolutely magnificent. And each one of them, these are culinary knives, but each one of them looks like a little miniature weapon into its own right. But what did you say to me when I picked it up and I went, oh my gosh, these must have cost something, you know, right? A little bit. You said, yes, but I'm sick and tired of buying the cheap knives
and having to
replace them all the time.
All the time. It's insane.
That right there is the sort of education that I'm talking about, because that can apply to anything, right?
Well, you see, no. I'm going to say this. I remember a time. Stuff last.
Mm-hmm. It's different. There's no doubt.
My grandfather had the same lawnmower until I was like 16.
But that's also because he knew how to fix it. He knew how to fix it. But I do look, I will still talk about my mother and her goddamn avocado green refrigerator. Okay? My parents remodeled the entire kitchen when I was in my late teens, early 20s. Okay. Modernized it. Right. We went from the full on 70s into a beautiful, you know, modern kitchen, stainless steel, the new appliance. And that damn refrigerator. And I would go, Mom, why? This makes no sense. You have done all. And she goes, but it still works. And I said, Mom, I understand that it still works, but look at the rest of this kitchen and look at this freaking eyesore. She goes, no, it still works. She wouldn't get rid of it till it quit. It finally gave out. And that's when she bought a new. And that took another 6 years. That doesn't happen anymore. That doesn't happen anymore. No. A washing machine you bought 6 years ago just, you know, spun its last spin. It's over. Yeah. I did. No. It's wild. Things are. They're much more disposable, which is part of the problem. Our food is disgusting. It yeah. really is. Like, people do not realize it's processed. It's chemically altered. It's so much of what we consume. If you are not taking the measures to actually cook it yourself.
Right.
Holy cow.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not the best cook, but even I can get away with this somewhat.
But because part of it is, again, based on how you were raised. You didn't have those modern conveniences. There's certain things you just know how to do. We have, you know, entire generations of people that don't know how to cook now. And, you know, diabetes numbers are skyrocketing. And everybody wonders why. There's a direct correlation. You know, I have seen things in younger people that are horrifying to me. I've seen people like wake up and eat a Snickers bar. And I'm like, what is happening right now? Yeah.
Oh, that just gave me a headache thinking about it.
I know. People under the age of, you know, 40 who wake up in the morning, you know, yeah, we go right to our coffee, but they crack open a Red Bull. And I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah. It's creepy. It's creepy.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Again, headache.
But I'm sorry.
Just thinking about it.
I'm sorry. That makes you much harder to heal.
Yes.
It makes the body harder to purge. It makes it harder to cleanse. It makes it harder to do a lot of things.
I mean, you got this gunk in your body. So.
Oh, yeah. So, something to think about. Yeah. Healing is no joke. Proceed with caution.
Oh, please.
It really should come with a big warning tag.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And please know what in the world you're healing.
Okay, can you make me some more coffee so I can play with your knives?
Sure.
Okay.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week for another episode. Pagan Coffee Talk is brought to you by Life Temple and Seminary. Please visit us at lifetempleseminary.org for more information, as well as links to our social media. Facebook, Discord, Twitter, YouTube, and Reddit.
We travel down this trodden path, a maze of stone and mire. Just hold my hand as we pass by a sea of blazing pyres. And so it is the end of our days, so walk with me till morning breaks. And so it is the end of our days, so walk with me till morning breaks.